When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Argyle Chat, the Plymouth Argyle podcast brought to you by the Herald Sports Desk.
It's still good morning, just about, Chris. We were recording just before noon on Monday. It's just the two of us today.
Yes.
Stuart James and Jack Ball aren't here today, so we'll make the best of it. Thankfully, we were both at the match on Saturday, so plenty to talk about.
Yep.
The best place to start is always the match that's just happened. So 2 days ago, we were in the FA Cup at Bradford City, 3 weeks after beating them 1-0 in the league.
Yeah,
and I think even the most optimistic of fans would have been difficult to see Argyle doing it once again, yeah, given how impressive Bradford were and how good they've been since. 3-1 in the end, but I think the general message is, if we'd taken our chances, it would have been different, and it wasn't a 3-1 game.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough, don't you? I mean, you were there, Baron. It was we did a little video clip, didn't we, in one of the press rooms after the game, and we made that point, and I think most people that saw that game would say that was a lot closer than a 3-1 game.
Yeah.
I certainly think that Argyle played better in the FA Cup tie than they did in the league
game.
Yes,
absolutely. Ironically.
And yet they won in the league game 1-0 with a real backs to the wall, dig it out, defend for your lives performance. And on Saturday in the Cup tie, they played better attacking football, created more chances, looked more threatening when they went forward. But were vulnerable at crosses into the box, so almost the complete opposite from the league game. And I suppose that's the dilemma that Derek Adams has got, hasn't he? That we've talked a lot about styles of play and tactics on the podcast, and it's all valid and relevant and what have you. But we saw them go to Bradford in the league, defend for their lives and get a win.
Yes.
And we saw them play the same opposition at the same venue 3 weeks later and play a more open, expansive style of play and get beaten 3-1.
That's a great way of putting
it. So, where you've got to find some middle ground where you can get the
win. It sums the argument up well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you've got to get the wins, but what style of play, how attack-minded can you be? Because you were there, Baron. I thought some of the football in the first half, the passing, the way they passed through the midfield was actually quite good. They got Carey and Grant out on the board in wide positions where they could run at the Bradford defence. And, you know, Jake Jervis, you know, on another day, you know.
Well, three weeks earlier. I mean, yeah, it's only now we sit here that it sort of dawns on me that the difference with Saturday was that Jake Jervis didn't put away the chance that he did put away 3 weeks earlier, and I think Stuart McCall was very fearful of that as well. He admitted as well, you know, he was very gracious and said that the Argyle were better than 3 weeks earlier. Completely agreed with the fact they created more chances, and he was, you know, he was scared that if Argyle had got that first goal, it could have been deja vu, and Argyle we know can close ranks once they're ahead.
So, I
think you're right. I mean, it was very encouraging in the first half. I think Bradford did want Argyle to have the ball. We noticed that. That was quite visible that they were giving the ball to Argyle and letting them have it and teasing them out of that defensive shape in order to create space for Bradford to then attack. So Argyle sort of took the invitation, if you like, and did a fair amount with it. You know, as we've said, there was 3-4 pretty good chances for Jake Jervis to put away. None of them went in, unfortunately. And as it happens, if you don't put away your chances, you get punished, especially at quality opposition like Bradford. But you're right. I mean, I think everybody agreed the first goal was a good goal. It was a solid work down the right-hand side. Good cross, good header, not great marking, but it was a good goal. You can't argue with it. And then the second goal, you know, it's a complete fluke, really, isn't it? I mean, Vancelo smashes it in the general direction of the goal, and it pings off Knight Percival's face. So
could have gone anywhere.
Exactly. And I think McCall accepts that as well. He accepts it was fortuitous. And then the third one is an avoidable mistake from Luke McCormick. So when you look at it on that terms, it's almost a 1-1 game. I mean, I think Bradford probably did deserve the win in the end.
Yes.
But certainly plenty of positives in defeat as we return to league action.
I mean, you look at Bradford and they'd won at Wigan and they'd won at Shrewsbury. Yeah, and
not a bad side at all.
They are a good side. And, you know, Argyle are giving them two different but decent games. So, yeah, it was a bit more positive, although as we were just discussing a minute ago, you know, when the third round draw is made, we might be even more disappointed if it's
our emotions will change.
Manchester United away or something like that. But, you know, it is what it is. I thought, you know, it was a strange one. There were more positives almost in a way to come out of that game than the league game, in the fact that, you know, certainly from an attacking sense, they look better. Although we come back to the age-old problem of taking chances, don't we?
Yeah. Well, three of the positives were Luke McCormick, Oscar Threlkeld, and Ryan Taylor, all back in the match day squad last week. I know Ryan and Oscar were in the squad for the overall game, but to have the three of them in a sort of bigger, more established competition was good to see. And Luke McCormick was the surprise. I mean, you'd had a tip off before that you felt Luke may have got the call back, and to actually see him in there was a nice surprise. And there are question marks which revolve around sort of how exactly that comeback came about.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Luke after the game, and I thought it would have been easy for him to say he didn't really fancy talking after the game, because he did make a bad mistake for Bradford's third goal. But I had had the opportunity to have a chat with him, and which was good, and he was very honest, as he always is. That, you know, he held his hands up for the third goal. It was such a bad time to concede it as well. Our goal had just scored. They just got back to 2-1. You know, there was a bit of momentum, you know, could have been built up, you know, and all of that was lost with one error. But it was interesting to talk to him, and he explained that he trained last week, which Derek Adams hadn't announced. But, you know, I'm not surprised necessarily by that. You know, the goalkeeping situation has been such a difficult situation for Argyle to deal with, that they probably were always going to keep their cards close to their chest. I think he was close to playing against Yeovil in the Checker Trade Trophy, but they went the Will Mannion route from Hull City, and he played in that game, played just the one game. But then Luke declared himself fit, and once Luke declared himself fit, then Argyle could no longer use an emergency loan
goalkeeper. That's what Derek said, wasn't he? He said we thought it would be sort of a bit more official or medical, but the goalkeeper decides, and then everything falls into place.
Once they've got a fit goalkeeper, then Will Manning had to go back to Hull after a very short stay. And then with Michael Cooper still injured, we had Max Charles, the 16-year-old apprentice, on the bench. So Luke came back. If you can take the mistake out of the performance, I thought Luke had a pretty decent game.
Good double save in the first half.
A good double save in the first half. I thought he looked reasonably, you know, considering he's come back without any match practice or any
14
game.
Matches he's missed.
Yeah, he's missed 14 games. He didn't have the benefit of a warm-up match or anything like that. So he gets thrown straight into a game like that. I thought, you know, he had a decent game. He felt fine after the game. He said he'd come through the game well. So that's how his returns come about. Now he is fit. Argyle can't use any emergency loans to supplement him. So that means that, you know, Will Mannion or Remy Matthews aren't in the picture. Although obviously Remy Matthews is injured at the moment, but that might be something that Argyle revisit in January, I would think, because he did so well during his loan spell. So we've got McCormick, by the looks of it, as long as he stays fit, touch wood, till January, and then, you know, Derek Adams has got the option to try and bring in Remy Matthews.
Will Mannion's going to become a bit of a trivia question, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's one to remember. Not quite the same as Rab Douglas, and that he actually did get to Plymouth, didn't he?
He did get to Plymouth briefly, didn't he? But
for him. But
it is. I mean, he got a game. I'm sure he'd have liked it to have been a little bit longer. But it was sort of out of everyone's hands once Argyle were deemed to have a fit goalkeeper. Then
perhaps Derek saw enough to think that he wanted to give Luke the nudge.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
The cynic in me thinks that if Remy Matthews hadn't got injured at Pompey, we'd still be seeing him in goal, and Luke may not have rushed back.
Yes, I think that's
the system may have been played a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, Argyle were forced into a position where they might have brought him back a bit earlier than, you know, I would have thought they'd have liked to have got him
at least a game or something like that.
You know, to get back into the feel of things after being out for a while. I mean, it's just been just a complete mess through no fault of Argyle's own, the goalkeeping situation. Now Luke McCormick's back. Yes, he made a bad mistake. you know, he said to me afterwards, you know, I'm not going to let dwell on it. Can't let dwell on it. You've got to move on. Mm. You know, and generally he had a decent game, but clearly, you know, when you're a goalkeeper, as we saw with Remy Matthews against Portsmouth, and then with Luke on Saturday, you make a mistake and it really stands is costly, out. Isn't it? And it sticks out like a sore thumb. So, but it's good to have him back. Anyway, yeah, he's the captain. He's the senior pro. You know, hopefully get a run of games under his belt between now and January, and you know, put in some good performances.
Well, since we recorded the last podcast, there's been a few decent developments, hasn't there, with the injury news. So obviously, we've now had Throw Kelvin Taylor back in action. We've had McCormick back. And as a side note, I mean, the South West Peninsula League match on Friday night, I mean, that was a fantastic example of how the situation is improving. Mm. Was it five or six pros?
Six pros
in a reserve team match the night before a first team game. I mean, that's... Mm. Whilst the goalkeeping situation is still not ideal, the outfield player situation is looking pretty rosy at the moment.
Yeah, you've got Jamie Ness is the only outfield player who's injured at the moment, so he was not involved in the game against Godolphin.
No.
But then you've got six pros, Bentley, Sokolic, Wilde, Fletcher, Lemirez, Blissett, all played in that one. None of them travelled up to Bradford, and you still have the squad of 18 up at Bradford. So there are options there. Now, I don't think that means for a minute that Derek Adams won't want to strengthen his squad and look to bring in players in January, because clearly the squad needs to improve. But for the time being, and coming into the Christmas period where you know you do play quite a few games in a short space of time, it's a good thing to have plenty of options available, and see Threl Calden Taylor back in particular. You know, Ryan Taylor showed against Yeovil when he started that game that his hold up ability that Argyle have been missing, that was clear to see.
Yeah.
Oscar Threlkeld played the whole game against Yeovil, didn't get on against Bradford, although he was on the bench, but you know, he'll give Argyle some dynamism and enthusiasm, whether he plays it right back or on the centre midfield. So it's good to have those two players back particularly.
It feels well timed as well, Chris, doesn't it? Because we'll get onto some questions shortly, but just before that, we'll reflect on the momentum issue that I think has cropped up. And when you look at the record, it quickly goes from one defeat in eight to now 4-5, and we're in danger of slipping into another bad run. And to be frank, Argyle can't afford another run like they had. So you've got Gillingham on Saturday, and then there's a run of fairly decent, winnable matches at least. And we've now got Throw Kelvin Taylor back, and it does feel like it is a good timing for them to come back, doesn't it? And the momentum, we really do need to see something on Saturday, don't we?
Yeah, you're looking for a result against Gillingham on Saturday. I mean, it gets confusing when you've got the Chequered Trade Trophy and FA Cup thrown in the middle of it as well, because it wasn't that long ago in league terms that they beat Northampton.
Yeah.
So it's you can make stats do whatever you want to a degree, don't you? But you're still losing games. I'm not too bothered about the Chequered Trade Trophy game, you know. There was, six changes to that game, and, you know, you had two players in Throw Kelvin Taylor that were playing their first game for a long time and weren't fully fit. The Bradford FA Cup game, you know, as you said at the intro, Baron, you know, I think having beaten Bradford in the league, the odds were probably always against Argyle in the cup tie. But the Gillingham game's important. There's, you know, they're on a reasonable run of form.
They're on a very good run, unfortunately, for Argyle.
Since Steve Lovell was appointed as their manager, initially as a caretaker, and then he's taken on from there. Being a man of Kent, I like to see Gillingham do well, but not on Saturday, as I'm sure they would appreciate. But it's a big game, and you have got a run of league games now. I mean, it's the cliche, isn't it? Concentrate on the league and all that sort of thing. But they know that Argyle now know they've got 26 games to go.
Every single match.
They know when they're going to be, who they're going to play, and it's the sole focus. And we'll see how they get on, particularly up till January, when Derek Adams can then sort of, you know, shake up his squad as he sees fit.
We'll look at a few of the questions now. We've had it where a few people get in touch as ever. So Gary Palmer, who's a regular contributor, thanks for getting in touch, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
Defeat after defeat after defeat, a horrendous lack of goals and no inspiration. Cheery stuff from Gary. He's clearly happy bunny at the moment. Adams has to take the blame for this laughable season. He has assembled a squad that would struggle to score goals in League Two at the moment. All of his transfer budget has been wasted on bang average players. Would you trust him to spend money in January to keep us up? Brackets, I wouldn't for sure. Or is it time for a change? I fear losing against the Gills could be the final straw for Adams. And Gary says he's been a Green for 40 years. I think he's sort of backing up his opinion there. He's got experience of following the team.
Gary, if you've been a fan of Argyle for 40 years, you've certainly seen your share of ups and downs, haven't you? So just go through your question and the points. Yes, there's been lots of defeats, horrendous lack of goals. Yeah, there's not been many. Can't disagree with that. No inspiration. I wouldn't necessarily go quite that far. Gary, as I say, Bradford, I thought, was encouraging. I thought they actually played with more inspiration than they have done for a lot of games this season. But I take your point that for much of this season, they have struggled to create chances. And when they have created them, they haven't taken them. Derek Adams has to take the blame for this laughable season. The manager always takes the blame when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Not sure. Laughable, again, maybe a touch on the strong side there. They're 3 points, I think, from safety.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we're 26 games to go, so yes, it's not good. We're not adrift. Bang average players. I mean, I did a piece for a column last week. The summer signings haven't lived up to the expectations that we were hoping for them. Some people would say they haven't had a fair chance. Others would say that on the evidence that we've seen when they have played, they haven't been good enough. You know, at the end of the day, you're judged on your performances, whether it's in the first team, whether it's as a sub for the first team, whether it's as a reserve. Derek Adams sees these players more than anybody else, and I'm sure if he felt that these players would contribute to the team, then they'd be in, and they haven't been. Would you trust him to spend money in January? I'm not sure transfer fees will be spent in January, but obviously you spend money in terms of bringing players in and the wages you do. Would you trust him to spend the money in January? I think his signings in his first two seasons at Argyle were good. There weren't many failures. There's been more failures and successes this summer, this season.
He knows more now, though, doesn't he? He knows about Lee One now.
He knows what he needs. So would I trust him? Yes, I would trust him. But accepting that the signings in January, bless you, Baron, haven't been a success. I don't see... I think he understands League One better, so that would help. Is it time for a change? No, I wouldn't say it's time for a change. They're 3 points adrift from safety. Yes, the results have been a bit up and down, but
we're just not getting that feeling, are we? There's no way that if they lose against Geelong, he's going to get the sack.
Yeah, if they were a bit more adrift, you would have concerns. If the team weren't showing signs of sort of being committed and what have you, I don't think that was a problem against Bradford on Saturday. No, I know where Gary's coming from. I mean, yeah. Gary is obviously a long-term supporter, and we appreciate all the feedback that we get from Gary and you guys, sort of thing. So I can see where you're coming from. I just try and look at it from a objective, journalistic point of view. We're not always going to agree on things, but it's a very important transfer window for Derek Adams. There's no getting away from that. I think we could all agree on that, couldn't we? That he needs to bring in some players that are going to improve the squad, particularly at the top end of the pitch, and get some more goals coming. I think defensively, I think defensively there's enough in that squad to keep Argyle up. But
on Saturday, I think because they were so expansive, I didn't think they were as solid as normal.
No.
But when they are in that defensive mindset, that rear seven do impress me when they are sort of choosing to pursue a match in that way. We'll move on to Graham McCormick. He's got in touch. Why is Derek Adams fooling himself, as other than about two games this season, we have just not been good enough, and most of the summer signings have brought nothing to the team? As much as I love the Greens and will continue to support the team, we have to face the truth. So it's quite similar to Gary, really, and he says that it's all been pretty poor apart from two matches all season. And I mean, he would say that the summer signings haven't brought anything, which is quite similar to what Gary has said. I mean, Adams does seem to have this reputation for saying things are perhaps a little bit more positive than they are. And I think we've talked about this, the private and the public persona. And I think clearly Adams is not the sort of manager that goes out and digs his players out. He doesn't think that's going to get the best out of this group of players.
No.
So rightly or wrongly, he is quite regularly going to come out and say things are going better. And
I remember
when we beat them 3 weeks ago at Valley Parade in the league, you spoke to Derek and you said, you know, does this prove that you're not just a one-man team? It's more than just Graham Carey. Does it prove you've got... There's a lot to work with. And he said, well, absolutely right. I mean, I've got faith in all of my players. And over the course of the season, we've been playing that well, but we haven't been getting the rubber of the green. And he says that the vibe in the dressing room never dropped. He said that they've always been in high spirits, and as if the multiple run of matches without a win didn't even happen.
Yeah.
So he's always had absolute public faith, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's not just Derek Adams. I think a lot of managers, it's almost like the spin that a politician puts on a particular situation. You know, in the world that we live in, we work in the media, the social media side of things, everything is very closely dissected when a manager speaks. Everyone looks, everyone has an opinion and reads into it what they want sometimes. And I think it's difficult for a manager to come out and be critical of his players too often, because you do run the risk of losing the dressing room if the players feel that one bad game or a couple of bad games and they're going to get called out in the media by the manager. So, yes, I know it frustrates fans, lots of fans, I think, sometimes
when
the manager comes out and says that we played really well, we were the better team, when most people would say that they weren't the better team. You could say the manager should be, you know, more honest in his appraisal of games sometimes, but you know, he's got a message that he wants to send out. He's got a message that he wants to get across to his players, more importantly, because his relationship with the players is the most important thing. And of course, it's good to have a good relationship with fans and the media and what have you. But it's, you know, keeping the players on side, keeping the players on board. Graham, you know, it's good to know that you'll continue to support the Greens. You know, whatever happens, you know, that's when, you know, it's easy when you're having promotion seasons and what have you to support any team. So the team do need your support. Like, you know. You know, it's important in these home games, particularly starting with Gillingham on Saturday, that Argyle have a home advantage and they have the fans behind them. But, you know, Graham's point about most of the summer signings, you know, I think we would agree on. There haven't been that many games where Argyle have been particularly good. I would agree. I don't think there have been that many where they've been particularly bad, certainly in terms of defeats. I think most of the defeats have been by single goal. Obviously, Scunthorpe and
Oxford and Doncaster,
the 10 men sort of ones. But you know, when they've kept 11 on the pitch, they've been pretty competitive. But yeah, if you're bottom of the table after 20 games, you know, clearly it's not gone as well as anyone wanted.
I can picture Adams behind the scenes when he's having some private thoughts and actually wrestling with himself and saying, if he isn't happy with the players, actually telling, you know, thinking to himself, you know, I really do want to go out and I want to dig the players out. That's how unhappy I am with this bunch. But and I know that would make the fans, you know, happy in quotation marks to see me talking the truth. And you can imagine him having that dilemma in his head, but then just telling himself, no, regardless of the flack I'm going to get for maybe saying the game is different to everybody else, I know that's what I need to do for the greater good, for the bigger picture, to keep my players on side.
Yeah, I think you can sort of call out the players, I don't know, once or twice a season.
I remember the Notts County game last season.
You can do it. And he was very critical of that game, wasn't he?
Was.
And you can do it. It has a shock impact. Mm. It's you know, the players go, oh wow, you know,
yeah, that really wasn't good.
That really wasn't good, and it hammers home. If you do it time after time after time, that does then it's in one ear and out the other ear. So it does become ineffective. So you know, I think that's the way he looks at it. And you know, sometimes, you know, he says, you know, the Portsmouth game. I know we talked about last week in the podcast, and I could, a lot of what he said was true, but you know, if people have got a downer on him, then they're going to look at what he said in a certain way. But, you know, it's difficult for a manager in a situation like this when you front up to the media and you've got to get your message across to the players and the fans, and sometimes that message isn't necessarily the same one.
Yeah. So, final question, Dave Searle, who again is a regular contributor. Thank you for getting in touch again, Dave. Should the FA Cup's first two rounds become regionalised, having to travel halfway across the country before Christmas to a stadium which was less than half full seems pointless. If it was closer, more would travel. I think that's a pretty good point, I thought. I mean, Saturday was pretty empty, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. 20,000 in the league game and 4,900 on...
I suppose what was counting against Argyle was the fact they'd just been to Bradford and they've got Rotherham in a couple of weeks, haven't they, in league games.
Yeah, if you've got your priorities, you know that FA Cup tie would have been below it. Dave, thanks for the question. I don't agree with the FA Cup being regionalised. I'm a traditionalist in lots of ways, and it's the luck of the draw. You know, they could have
been
away.
That's the beat of the draw, isn't it?
They could have been away to Gateshead. They could have been, away to Exeter or whatever. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, you take it. It's part of the competition. It's quite fun sometimes if you go from one end of the country to the other and you play a team you've not played for a while or what have you. Bradford did a lot of work in terms of admission prices and promotional stuff to try and get their fans along, but they couldn't. I think, you know, even if you do it regionalised, of course, you get north and south. So Argyle would be in the south section with Colchester and Southend and Gillingham and things like that. So you're not reducing the risk of long trips. And, you know, I'm not sure an FA Cup second round tie at, you know, a League One or League Two team anywhere close to here would have attracted a bigger crowd.
True.
It's FA Cup in the first couple of rounds doesn't really grip the imagination. But we were all saying at Valley Parade on Saturday that whoever wins this tie, if they're at home to one of the Premier League big boys in the third round, they'd be squeezing everyone in every corner. So it is what it is. I like the FA Cup for being, you know, the way it is. It's luck of the draw. You could get anybody. You could get the smallest non-league team, what have you. So I would leave it well alone. I think for, you know, that the other cup competitions, I don't know what about you, Baron. I'm quite happy with regionalised in that. But I think the FA Cup, that's... try and keep some traditions to it.
I think Dave makes a good point, but I am with you. You know,
it's a valid point. No, it's definitely a valid point. I mean, I'm obviously more, I've sort of a bit older than Baron, so you're younger. But I mean, do you see that the FA Cup has got a future with the tradition it's got, or does it feel to you?
A good point. Yeah, I mean,
it's gradually dwindling.
I can't help but feel that Saturday was a little bit flat.
It was.
And I don't know if that's because Argyle's league campaign is so pressing at the moment and is so important that it did just feel a little bit flat. And the fact it was, unfortunately, it was the luck of the draw. And in this case, it was bad luck in the draw because they've drawn a team that's higher than in League One away from home.
Yeah.
And it's a team that they've just been to 3 weeks earlier. Yep. So it did just ticked all the wrong boxes really to get excited about. So I can see why off the back of a match like that you'd knee jerk and think regionalising it would soften the blow. But as you've said, Chris, I mean, even if you were to do a west and east divide, then you've got the problem of going to Accrington or Carlisle. So you can't win either way with Argyle.
You are going
to be travelling, as with the shortest league trip this year is Bristol Rovers, which is 2 hours up the road. I mean, you cannot avoid the distance. So
it's one of those things. So,
but I think the FA Cup has got. I mean, look at the fever last year. That's one of those two Liverpool games. I think it has got a future. You've just got to be looking.
You've
for
got
the
to
draw.
Have the right match, right match, and then it really gets people engaged.
Well, we'll start wrapping things up now, and we'll look ahead. We've mentioned Gillingham briefly, but we'll go back to it because it is an important game. Argyle are back at home, thankfully, and several weeks ago, you know, I know that I picked out three big home matches. Thankfully, they beat Wimbledon away, beat Northampton at home, and Gillingham was the third of those on the horizon, and. Unfortunately for Argyle, Gillingham are in really, really good form and are actually unbeaten since October 21st. There's been a fair few draws in there, but there are signs of life there, aren't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. You know, they've changed manager and Steve Lovell's gone in. Earlier in my journalistic career, I worked in Kent and used to sort of have a little bit of involvement with Gillingham, and Steve Lovell was a striker there.
Oh, really?
So he's a man with long connections with Gillingham. You know, he's been around that club a long time, a little bit like Mark Patterson, the former Argyle right back who works in youth development at Priestfield. So they've had a bit of a rocky time the last few years. So they've gone to the sort of the club stalwart to a point as manager, and they're on a better run of form, aren't they? So an important game, but as you said earlier on, Baron, you know, you've got Gillingham at home, Rotherham away, Oldham at home before Christmas. You know, you've got to be looking to pick up a decent amount of points from those three games, and then that sets you up for Boxing Day at Milton Keynes, the 30th of December at Blackpool, the 1st at home to Walsall, the 6th at home to Bury. So,
there's a lot. I mean, I've just pulled out. I mean, there's 4 matches in 9 days there and plenty of mileage. They're going from home to Oldham, all the way to MK for Boxing Day, and probably back to Plymouth.
Yep.
Back up to Blackpool on the 30th, and then you're coming back down to Walsall, is it?
Walsall on the 1st.
Walsall first.
Which is going to be quite a tight
turnaround. 2 days after Blackpool, I mean, that's a savage turnaround.
Yeah, you get back from Blackpool, if you're lucky, at midnight, sort of on the 30th stroke
New Year's Eve.
And then you're in New Year's Eve, and then you've got the game the following day, so that's a turnaround. But that's the festive season, it's the same for everyone else, although obviously Argyle tend to do more mileage than...
When the matches come thick and fast, the league table does change more drastically, doesn't it? I mean, if they go over those 4 games and don't pick up a point, the league table is very different in January.
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, at the moment, with the cup tie at the weekend, you know, you've got 2 weeks between a league game.
Yeah.
So nothing changes in those 2 weeks. In the 2 weeks over Christmas, that league table could look completely different, couldn't it? So, we're coming to a key part of the season. There's no two ways about it. You know, Argyle have got some games that they've got to be looking to try and win. There's no sort of Shrewsbury's or Wiggins or, you know, lurking in the near future. So this is the time where, you know, Derek Adams has got, you know, pretty much everyone fit, take away the goalie situation. Mm. Got to knuckle down, pick up some valuable points and give everyone a lift going into January when, you know, we'll see what happens squad-wise then.
Absolutely. Well, we'll obviously be previewing Gillingham throughout the week and bringing up our... You'll be seeing Derek Adams twice this week, is that right?
I think so. I think that's the plan. I think we'll see him Tuesday.
We'll have plenty more from Adams then before Saturday's match. And, of course, we'll be at Home Park on Saturday as well with our live blog and your match report as well. So keep an eye on the website throughout the week.
And do you want to give a little plug to your little interview you did with our former Argyle and international striker? Because that will be a good read, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, so I spoke to Roy Fallon last week in light of his retirement from the game. And quite the career he's had. I'm sure anybody that's followed Fallon's career, he's pretty much done everything you could do with an EFL career, if you like, a Football League career. You know, he's done plenty with New Zealand as well. So I had a really, really good long chat with him last week over at Mountbatten. So keep an eye out for that. That will be going up online this week. And he reflects a lot on Argyle. You know, he had 3 or 4 years at Argyle and was there sort of as I think the wheels came off, really, heading towards administration. So plenty to say from Roy. So keep an eye on that this week as well.
We are always happy to hear from you. And if you have any questions for our panel, please tweet them to our Twitter account @HeraldPAFC or visit our Facebook page, Plymouth Argyle The Herald. Thanks for listening.